I thank y'all very much for your attendance here for our first scheduled chat meeting of the year. Thank you for not just being here today, but for volunteering to be on this committee two consecutive years. We'll go over some bylaws here in a minute, have a little discussion and see the length of tenure that you might be on this committee. I did have a chance to email you the Shack meeting minutes from April 13th, 2022, but those are in front of you. I did provide those to you, and you had a little bit of time to look over. I will go over the highlights of that since I did send it to you in an email. If you remember, we brought in Dee Baker and Kelly Eastman, health teachers from high school and junior high. We had our last meeting, our second required meeting, to talk about the human sexuality curriculum for our new health adoption. We reviewed that. If you remember, once again, we did that at two separate meetings, so you have ample opportunity to look at the curriculum. And wanted to continue reminding everybody that's on this committee now and visited last year, is that reminds everyone that no student will be taught human sexuality without a parent opting into the curriculum first, and we'll make sure we meet all those guidelines, the 14 days notice before we provide that instruction this year. Just another reminder, the Shack Council voted and adopted the Good Heart Wilcox Human Sexuality Curriculum. That's also a companion piece that goes along with our other health book. There was a motion by Josh Hardwick and a second by Max Johnson, and the committee then approved by unanimous vote to adopt that textbook. And we are going to be using that textbook as that companion piece for this year. Also at that same meeting, we had Christy Lane Earls, who's here again today, and she updated the committee on our wellness policy guidelines. So that's just a reminder of what we did in April. Are there any questions about the Shack meeting minutes from April 13, 2022?
No. Motion. Do I have a second?
Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you very much. For those of you all that are listening to this by audio, we've already taken a tour of the high school cafeteria, and the high school cafeteria also provided us with lunch today. The reason we had that on the agenda is because we want to go over school nutrition here in a few minutes, so we wanted to have an opportunity to sample the food and the ingredients for our school nutrition and our lunch program that we have here. Introduction of Shack members. I'm going to go around the table so those of you on the audio can hear who's in attendance. I am Terry Hadler. I am the chair of the committee. I am assistant superintendent of Wiley ISD.
I'm Lois Burleson, and I am the district nurse of Wiley School District and the high school nurse.
I'm Angie Haney, and I'm a parent member.
Max Johnson, I'm a parent as well of a junior and a graduate.
We have a five-person committee, and it was brought to my attention today that Carissa Paris, students no longer attend Wiley ISD, and I apologize, I did not know that till today. So I will make every effort I can to replace her with another member before our next meeting. We also have two guests here today. You'll introduce yourselves.
Christy Lindero is the Wiley ISD Food Service Director.
And Dusty Mason, Wiley ISD Food Director Assistant.
Thank you very much. Shack purpose reminder, Shack assists the district in ensuring the local community values are reflected in health education, instruction, and strengthens the connection between health and learning. In short, our goal is to assist the district in creating a healthy school environment. Members in front of you, I have provided our bylaws for our committee, for our council, and also the eight components of the coordinated school health. So I'm going to go over that before we turn this over to Christy. Requirements for Shack is you have to have a name, so we went all out for our name. We call ourselves the Wiley ISD School Health Advisory. We want to come up with something a little more special, but pretty much to the point there on that one. Purpose, remember that we are a council that shall be an advisory body and shall serve to provide guidance, recommendations, and other assistance to the board as it is specifically listed in state law and district policies. You also notice in that next sentence that we do not have the power to expend public funds nor enter any contracts or anything like that. Our vision, I've already read, and I read that at every meeting. Responsibilities of this committee: the SHAC shall have the following responsibilities and shall provide an annual report. Probably do that in April or May, and I'll probably the one that does that as the chair to the Board of Trustees, as defined by the state law and district policies. We are to review and provide recommendations concerning the district's policies, procedures, strategies, and curriculum appropriate for specific grade levels regarding, and if you look at that chart I provided for you, you'll see that that's the same thing that's in the next paragraph. As you can see, those are the eight components that we are to advise our board on, one of them being school nutrition, which we're going to cover today. Mrs. Burleson doesn't know that she has a similar responsibility to her. She'll be speaking in December about nursing, school health services. Sorry, I talked to Mr. Besson. He took the spring. So you see on our agenda, before we leave, we have some proposed dates to fit those work into your schedule.
Okay.
But you'll do whatever the date is, you'll do the next one. We'll do two this semester. We'll do two in the spring.
Okay.
We'll probably go over the wellness policy and stuff if needed in the spring. So you see it's school health education, school health services, healthy school environment, health promotion for staff, physical education, nutrition services, counseling, psychological and social services, and family and community involvement. So we'll make sure we cover all those topics during this school year. On the next page, membership. It says the board shall appoint a minimum of 5 members to the local school health education advisory council. Actually, they appointed me as the designated to do that, which is pretty common. And as I've already said on this recording, we only have 4 members for this meeting because I wasn't aware that one was no longer eligible, because you have to have a student who's in the school district to be on the committee. So we will replace Carissa. The majority of the members must be persons who are parents of students enrolled in the district and who are not employed by the district. So that means, since there's a 5-person committee and Lois and I are employees, that means the replacement will have to be a non-employee as well. They give you some recommendations on who to put on there. Obviously, a school administrator. We have a healthcare professional within our staff as well. And then they give us leads on who else we put on here. We did have a member of the clergy last year, but Josh is not on the committee. Eligible criteria: to be eligible to serve, the person must have a chosen to attend WISD or works for the school district, which would meet all those requirements. Terms of service: now, these are bylaws that we created. We can always change this. The term of service for voting members shall be a minimum of 2 years, beginning with the first meeting of the school year. I might visit with our 2 members that are in attendance today, maybe at a later time, to see just what you feel about how long you would want to serve on this committee, so we can always change the bylaw. Not trying to put any pressure on you to extend it over a period of time. We can increase that past 2 years. Officers. Officers. The SHAC shall select the chair and co-chair. The chair or co-chair must be a parent member. Both positions will serve a 2-year term. I will be serving as the chair, and I will, once we get a 5th person on this committee, probably at the next meeting, we'll take a motion for somebody to become co-chair, and we'll vote on that. So if anybody's interested in that position, please let me know as soon as meetings. We are required to have 4 council meetings a year, and that's what you're going to see on the agenda later, the proposed dates. So we'll make sure we meet that requirement as well. All the meetings will be here. I know we sit in the easiest place to get to with the check-in system, but it is pretty nice once we get back here. I've talked to Christy in the spring when we go over health services for staff and for students. We may have one of these meetings up in the press box. Okay. A quorum shall consist of at least 4 voting members present at the meeting. Meetings may still be held without a quorum for purposes of presentations or discussion. So if we're going to elect a co-chair, we'll make sure we have a quorum for the next meeting. And all meetings will be open to the public, and guests will have a maximum of 5 minutes to provide public comment. I want you to note that there's nobody here for public comment today. We are recording this, and that's meeting the guidelines from the state legislature and TDA. And on the last, I'm sorry, second to last page, I'm going to skip down to Article 10, Communication. Information regarding Shaq will be posted on the Wiley ISD website, which we did. You're required to put that on there 72 hours in advance. We met that requirement. You see that as a requirement for all four meetings. You must also post notice of date, time, location, and subject of Shaq meeting at the administrative office, which we did so on the webpage and at each campus. So I emailed the notice to all the secretaries and they posted it in their offices. And if I did that Monday or Friday or whatever day I did it, it was 72 hours. Prepare and maintain minutes. I don't know if it's required to vote, but we already voted or appointed Mrs. Lois Ferguson to do that last year, and she did such an outstanding job. We want to let her continue in that capacity this year. Okay, and then the last requirement we will have to do is I have to make sure when this meeting's over that I submit to the district the minutes and a recording of this meeting within the next 10 days. And we'll make sure we do that requirement. I know that was a lot. Any questions? I know both Ms. Haney and Mr. Johnson were not here for the first meeting last year when we went over all the bylaws and requirements. So, y'all have any questions? Main thing is we just want to make sure that the Student Health Advisory Committee is in compliance with all the rules and regulations that are put on us.
I will second that the meetings are awesome. The minutes.
Could you say that louder?
The meeting Lyle, minutes are awesome.
I'm just kidding.
They're very detailed and very, very well written.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Okay, ladies. Turn it over to you.
Okay. Good girl. All right. So now we're back in the NSLP lunch program. Last year we were in the SSO, and that what meant is everybody got free breakfast and lunch. This year we're back in the NSLP due to we didn't have enough qualification or we didn't get the grant. And that's based off of the free and reduced population percentage in our district. So that's why. So if you hear that Abilene School is doing free, we get phone calls all the time. They're doing free meals, why aren't y'all? That's the reason why we don't have that percentage
based on population.
Of the free and reduced. So that's that. I was going to talk about some meal prices, the shortages, offers to serve. Promote healthy choices, the smart snack and a la carte items, and then we really won't go over the wellness policy since we did that last year at the last meet. We had already got that approved because that was due last year. So let's see.
Do you want me to read this?
If you want to.
Okay. The NSLP, which is the National School Lunch Program, serves nutritious, low-cost, or free lunches to students in public and non-private schools in Texas. Lunches must meet federal nutrition guidelines, which are the sodium levels, our calorie intake, and it must contain 51% whole grain for those items.
They did change that this year.
And yeah, I can't remember the percentage last year, but and then you can only have, is it 20% if you use 20% a week if it is not whole grain? So we can still use those products, and we try to pick like the certain good tortillas, certain things that just don't taste good if they're whole grain.
Kids would eat.
And these are reimbursable to schools based on the number of meals served. So like with that qualifying for the free lunches for everyone, our percentage of kids that are on the free and reduced did not meet that.
The guidelines.
Yeah, the guidelines provide that for a while.
Which we did get quite a few more applications this year. We're probably, what was it, about 200 something applications. And most of them did qualify for free or reduced. There was some that got denied. I mean, it's that borderline, you know, and all the qualifications are online. They can go and see, okay, here's the, you know, monthly income, weekly income, things like that. So,
and then you can see on your, I think it's fourth and fifth page.
They don't have a copy of this.
Oh, that's right. Okay. On your fourth and fifth page. And then you can kind of.
So the breakfast, so this is kind of like this We did a little survey of last year's meal when we were in the free, what were served, and then like going back into the national school lunch program. So last year at breakfast time, we served 9,032 breakfast in August. This year, we only served 6,294 breakfast. So that's a big difference from having the free meals offered versus going back to the pay. And you can tell in September, it was 22,153 in September to 15 this year. So that's a big difference. And so we don't get that as much reimbursement, you know, anyway. So that's just kind of, we just kind of broke that down. I know somebody asked, I think it's a guy that's not here anymore that always asked about this, the scenario.
How?
That was
a full, well, a couple of weeks in August that we attended in school full month.
And I don't have October yet because we didn't hit October, the end of October, but like September. Yeah, so September, just in lunch, last year was 58,000, and then this September, we only did 44,000 in lunch. So there's a good, what, 10,000, 12,000 about difference there. So we did drop quite a bit down after the free went away.
To be expected.
And so our meals, we did have to pump up on the meal prices this school year. It was approved. So just due to the cost of the prices of everything and the meals of
the school board makes that decision on that each August.
Right. So we went up I think it was a quarter.
For breakfast and lunch?
Mm-hmm. It's $2.75 for breakfast pre-K through fourth, and their lunch is $3.25. And then fifth through 12th is $2.75 for breakfast and $3.75 for lunch.
You have to balance the books.
Yeah, because the cost of
the cost of food, the cost of the non food items, the containers, the fuel down to getting it here.
It goes up every week. Like it's sometimes it's 14 cents per case, and sometimes it's 18 cents.
It's not just food service; that's everything the school district purchases. Yeah. It's like our belts and other career job.
So, but our, and so our reimbursement rate, it did go up. They did give us a little, I guess a little temporary reimbursement for this school year. It's at 40 cents on the paid and reduced, and 40 cents on the free, on the lunch, and then 15 cents on the breakfast, paid lunch, and free. That's additional to the 35 cents and like $1.81, the reimbursement rate. Your reimbursement rate for breakfast for paid is 50 cents, for reduced is $1.96, and then for free is $2.26. And that means, so if they have a reimbursable meal, they have to have, at breakfast, they have to have the three components. So they have to have the milk, the juice, and then the green, and items like that. And then at lunch, it's for 77 cents for paid, and for reduced, it's $3.93, and for free, we get $4.33. And you have to make sure it's a reimbursable meal once it like comes to the cashier. So they have to make sure they have at lunchtime a fruit and a vegetable or either or on their tray. They have to have three of the, or is it four?
Three of the four at breakfast and four of the five at lunch.
So
is that the reimbursement price for all grades?
Yes, okay. For all grades. Mm-hmm.
And this is just our supply shortages, everything from paper goods to the smart snack items like we were talking about due to the sodium levels and just the manufacturers being able to make those items. And then it seems like you find one item and not only is Wiley ordering that item, but every school system is. So then as soon as it comes available, the next week it may be gone. And then they substitute with another, but it's like we're not the only ones. So
sometimes we don't even get it, and then we're like, oh, what are we going to do now? Yeah. And that's been not just with smart snack items. That's been items on the line. So then we're in a bind, and we're like, okay, you can serve this out today. You know, because I always tell the managers, try to have at least 1 or 2 days in your freezer just in case if something happens with the truck or anything like that, just so we can have. Just because like when it snowed really bad, we couldn't get trucks down here, and, you know, we served what we had. So so items like that. And so we just pushed a lot where we asked for families to fill out like meal applications and things like that for to help them, because there's a lot of people that are embarrassed to fill out the free and reduced meal applications. So we try to push for that just to see if they can qualify for even reduced.
Did you say what percentage of it?
On the free and reduced. I'm even asking that. And then look, it is, I'll have to look again. I'm running lots of reports on that because I'm doing verification right now, so I can get back with you on that number. But I know we took over 200 applications this year compared to like 24 last year, but that's because everybody was free last year. But if they filled out the application, they had all those other benefits for that. So it's been different. So it was. And then like offer versus serve, that's, you know, the kids can go through and get what they want. We do that at every campus except the pre-K, ECC, and kindergarten campus. They put everything on their tray because they're too young. They'll stand in line and say, no, I don't want that, I didn't want that, and forever. So we offer that at every campus.
And that kind of cuts down on waste so that you're not giving them something that they are not going to eat. They can choose.
They can say they can choose between a garden salad and green beans. Or they can choose from the garden salad and a cup of peaches or half a cup of peaches or, you know, things like that. So it does help on waste, but sometimes it doesn't have to mean. So we try to choose items. We have to follow the guidelines of the vegetables. It's very, we have to have so many red, orange vegetables a week. We have to have so many greens, so many, what is that? Legume, all those every week. And those are the only items we cannot really change. And so if you think of it, for a green vegetable, there's really only garden salad, the romaine, because you can't use, iceberg. You can't use that, so you have to use romaine or like broccoli. The other ones, they're not going to eat spinach or Brussels sprouts or something.
So when we went for, I think everybody got peas.
Yes,
and
everybody
salad.
Was.
Nobody, if they could have got the green beans, mm-hmm. and got the salad. But when the student comes through, and they don't have either one of those greens, they don't need one of those greens, you send them back.
But if they have fruit on their tray.
As long as they meet the requirements.
Yeah, so they could have got a slice of
that's
pizza.
That's chip for every student that comes
Yeah, so we can get our reimbursement. Because if not, then we won't get that reimbursement.
And that's the cashier that's responsible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not that they're going to eat it, at least.
Right. And so that's why I noticed I noticed that you grab the juice, and that's why the high school offers a juice, because they have to offer a full cup of fruit.
So if this is getting you on track and you want to address it later, that's fine. But if you go back to doing the firehouse subs and the Chick-fil-A, what does that do to your reimbursement? Like, it's just totally gone?
It's totally gone.
And then you add a margin to, like, the Chick-fil-A and the firehouse?
Yes.
Or, and that's enough to cover the reimbursement you would have gotten from?
We would have to see what the free and reduced rate is here at the high school to see if it would cover those costs for those children. Because once you do, say, you get out of the nutrition program, then go out of it, you have to cover the free and reduced students.
Okay.
So. And I think back, a while back, we weren't, I don't know if we were just not eating that, or I don't remember. So that's how we try to stop so much waste with the offer versus serve on all the other campuses. But they have to at least have the three at, you know, breakfast and lunch. They can choose all five if they want all five at lunchtime, because there's more choices at lunch. And so it has to be the dairy, grain. We offer the dairy, grain, protein, and vegetables and fruit daily through the meal lines. So, the three E's, we try to promote the three E's. It's exercise, or education, exercise, and eating right is what we kind of try to go by. All my staff, they go to trainings over summer and do trainings online through like the ICN or Square Meals or some training that they go and do, to kind of help them stay on track, mm-hmm. you know, help with the education part, so they know that the kids are getting the right stuff.
And then we've talked about the smart snacks and the a la carte items, and the a la carte is sold from the intermediate school, so that's third grade and up. that get the chance to purchase those. And they must meet the guidelines, and I think we gave you the calculator. So, like, if you save this wrapper on the cookie, you can insert all that information, and it will tell you whether your item is compliant or non-compliant. And like I said, a lot of those are hit and miss, and we get a few in, but we try to get this stuff. I mean, these are really good.
Yeah, it's great.
You wouldn't think it was whole wheat. And a lot of the brownie, everything's really good. We've tried everything. So we try to taste it before we put it out there to make sure. But everything is such a hit and miss.
Those items are easier to kind of come across. It's the cookies, the brownies, some of the chips. It's mainly that entree item that we have. It's trying to get that to run through the smart snap.
Yeah.
So, like, there is a corn dog that they can do daily. There's some, like a tornado. It's called a, it's like kind of like a taquito. And it's stuffed with like chicken and cheese. They do have that, but that's been a hit and miss if it's in stock or not.
They love those.
Yes, they do.
There's popcorn chicken, chicken nuggets, fries. And we try, you know, like the twister fries, the tater tots, the smiley fries. I mean, try to give them all this variety of, you know.
It just goes by the portion.
So, and then we've, you know, heard through the grapevine that next year is going to be even harder because they're trying to still lower how much sodium they are getting in each item. So that will make even some of the items we use this year
probably
not work for next year. And that's probably going to be next school year, 23-24. So.
Not for salt,
no. No salt added in any. We try to make up with the pepper and the garlic and the other seasonings to make it taste good, but no salt. Puts us at the wellness policy.
Which that doesn't have to be renewed until I think two more years.
We did it last year, at the end of last year.
So we're good on that. And y'all have any other questions? It's kind of the basic run around. I handed y'all some little flyers. Those go out. Those are on the website. For like parents.
Did you get your question answered?
Yes.
It sounds like maybe we're not quite sure exactly what that's going to look like.
Right, we'll have to run that through Mr. Light to see about if we can take them out of the government program.
Yeah.
See. We've been working on some numbers and
on
orders and spreadsheets.
How much they're spending a la carte versus how much they're making a la carte and versus the meals. And
we started that, so we're hopefully we'll know within like the next month or so.
Yeah.
And if it does happen, then we'll take it to Mr. Light and say, hey, this is what we can do and this is what, you know, think we can pull out, and hopefully he'll say, okay, take the high school back off.
How much waste is there being
there's not very much waste at any campus. They do, on the younger campus, they get little cards that the teachers fill out saying, this kid's getting hot lunch, this kid's getting a fun sack. So they kind of base off that, and they may go 5 or 10 over, just in case if extra kids come in or extra entrees.
What are the rules and guidelines of the leftovers?
Or you can serve them out. So say if they have a whole pan of green beans and they're going to be okay, they can serve them out the next day. Fruit, they can serve out the next day, like at breakfast. Yep. So, yeah, but it goes in the trash. So. I don't think we can because since we have, since it's commodity, the lots commodity process, you know, pounds and
and I know they do a really good job at the lower grades.
Yes, now the high school.
I'm speaking to us, how's that going?
And sometimes at the junior high, it's a hit and miss, and sometimes those teachers don't say, hey, they're going on a field trip or they're going, and then you're like, oh man, I got all this extra.
Yeah, Christy worked on my campus, well, for several years, but you were the manager for a few years. Sometimes the principal forgot to tell her.
And I would go marching in.
We'll be taking 100 kids to prom time.
I'm like, seriously, now I have 100 hamburgers left. Or, you know, 50 or whatever. But yeah. So,
we worked it out.
Yeah, we did.
Well, anybody that complains about the rising cost, how challenging it is to get a job to a subway, rises to 75.
And I don't think some of the, like, my little one, she likes sometimes to take her own lunch or whatever. And I'm like,
We had to raise our meal money for our UIL students and make competing on road trips. Getting four to go, get up three dollars. How do you know how good that works?
So we're gonna work on it, and we're working on some numbers, and we'll see what we can do. It may be borderline, I don't know, he may say yes, do it, he may say no. It's all up to, you know, Mr. Light.
So you would have the options that you have now, like pizza, but then you would have the other options also.
Yes.
Yes.
We would be able to serve a lot more stuff. We wouldn't have to run it through the calculator.
Will you write yourself a note to visit with Mr. Light? Give me information to report to the committee.
Yes. We should have those numbers. Hopefully, we may have them by mid-November. We've been working hard on it because we've noticed the difference of, I mean, just the difference on just the serving lunches. And we know that they were free last year, but it's just, and the managers call. They call from the junior high. They don't want to be in it. The junior high just want to be out because they sold a lot. Because they like to create things. They like to make their own, like, we have a really good
creative East Junior High.
Yes,
kitchen.
They will make homemade enchiladas, homemade tacos, different stuff out there. They want to serve that to the kids. And it's not bad. I mean, you still use the same product and just serve it, but it has to run through that Smart Snack. And you can't get brown meat and tacos and, you know, all those things to run through. Unless you serve it on the lunch line, you can sell it the day of and day after on the a la carte. So, and that has a lot to do with the manufacturers, too. Just like we're supposed to have Thanksgiving dinner on the 4th, there's no turkey. We try to get ham, and so the ham was not pre-sliced, and we don't have the machinery to slice that many
for eight campuses.
So we went with a shredded, like smoked kind of chicken. It's really good. We tasted it at the Expo Center food show that we went to, and it's really good. So I think they'll enjoy it, but it's just not the same as, you know, the turkey meal. Because I know some of these kids look forward to having that Thanksgiving meal. That's why we put it on there.
Maybe y'all break the news.
We already did. We sent it out to the principals. And
that is always a break.
It's a lot of extra work, but the our staff like
the kids.
They like doing it.
Did you see your sugar?
I don't think they're gonna be able to tell the difference once they put the dressing and the gravy. They'll be fine. It really has been. You need to try it. You need to try it.
I would.
Yeah, it's really good. We work hard. We try.
Nutrition.
Try to stay with all the guidelines. We have to follow them. It's always.
How would you say have some more? Thank you for all you.
This meal was an indication it was good.
It was good, yeah.
That is good. It's good. You wouldn't even know that it's whole grain.
If you look at the proposed meeting schedule for the remainder of the year, and I apologize, I didn't bring a calendar, but I believe those are all Thursdays, which I've been every other month. And it seemed like I went by last year's calendar. It's always the week of the board meeting, which means it'd be the second Thursday of each month. So. Is everybody flexible enough?
What's the proposal?
It's on the agenda. You might not have one.
Oh, sorry.
December 15th is the second Thursday.
Okay, the rest of them will be the second. So it's always the second Thursday of the month. Any opposition to that?
Thursday works.
I try to give you all a couple weeks' notice. I don't know if I gave you that much this time, but I try to give you as much notice as possible. Sounds like that next one we're going to have a quorum to see which one y'all would be the co-chair. Like I said, the co-chair responsibility is just to take it over. If I'm not here, I'm pretty sure they're not going to have a meeting. So I think it's going to be easy. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Do we have any subjects of, I mean, one of the eight things here is healthy school environment.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include
That would probably be covered under the what's your message?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And X exterior, not just in the school, but the exterior around the
school. So I would make a note of anything that y'all want to discuss, we can put on the agenda.
Okay.
So I'll make sure the one that Mr.
I would just talk to some.
Like we have a brand new app.
Yeah.
That we were trained, the administrators were trained up to search for it. And where people can make reports and things. So we can.
I was talking to some parents and kind of just talking up quietly a little bit. And then, oh, I've heard that there's a lot of bullying.
It's funny that you say that because I heard the same thing from somebody this past week. But I've just said that had not really been our experience and if that was going on.
Yeah, ours too.
But we have programs that we provide.
Yeah.
Bully prevention.
Yeah.
Teachers are trained.
Yeah, I know at the lower levels that they have programs and they have a lot of.
We also have a lot of care programs for preventive measures, but right. Those are things that beyond this.
Okay.
Is us
good. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much.
Make the motion and the second. How about them?
You and me. We're done. All right.